What is going on, everyone? Welcome back to another. That was like a really abrupt stop. It was just like bloop, and it's done. Welcome back to another episode of Creating Daily. If you've been here before, then thanks for coming back. If you've never been here, then welcome. This is a show where I bring on creators Tuesday and Thursday every week at 4 p.m. Eastern time until I change it. And I bring them on to help you as a content creator or maybe a potential content creator, aspiring content creator, get some plans, get some goals, get some actionable steps to either level up your current content, start on another platform, learn something you've never learned before. And so I'm really excited about today's episode. I have fellow Ritual Motion creator, which is sponsor of the show, which I'll get to in a second, Anthony Disney, going to be coming on, and we're going to talk all things YouTube content creation. He has a little bit of a new thing he's doing that he didn't even let me in on, so I'm like on the edge of my seat to figure out what that is. So I'm pretty excited about this episode. So do me a favor, hit that share button, like button, follow button, subscribe, whatever buttons around you. And if you want to join the conversation, jump over into Ritual Motion. Should be a link right underneath you somewhere in the description, and you can jump over and be a part of the conversation either in the chat, or you can actually come on the show if you want to. No one ever does it, but I always say, hey, come on, you can be a part of it. But before I jump into it with Anthony, I do want to give a shout out to the show sponsor, Ritual Motion. So kind of imagine the intersection, as I always say, of like Web3, community, creator economy, and there is Ritual Motion looking to make a splash and help you as a content creator achieve your goals as well. So if you're not a part of Ritual Motion, go check that out. Super cool people, super cool platform where you can go live, you can do networking sessions, you can do all that fun stuff. And they're launching an NFT project called BlockBots. So if you're not watching, that is BlockBotz.io. And if you're into NFTs and all that fun stuff, go check out BlockBots and see if that is what you want to be doing. I don't think they've dropped the project yet. As a lot of these NFT projects, stuff gets delayed, pushed back, all that kind of fun stuff. But I know when they do drop, I think it's only going to be a collection of like 5,000 NFTs. So be sure to go check that out. And we just want to give a huge shout out to Ritual Motion for hooking us up and being a sponsor of Creating Daily. We really appreciate it. And then also, you might be seeing, I got some new, what do they call this? Digs? Is that what they call it? You call them digs? I don't know. But my guy, Mikey Hayes, Michael Hayes is actually in the chat saying, hey, Billy, what's up, Mikey? Really appreciate the hookup on some new apparel. So I want to shout those guys out. And you can follow them. I want you to jump over into the nearest show notes and follow their Instagram account. Really cool brand here in Wilmington, North Carolina. Really great friends of mine and my wife. Super great people. And they have created a brand to literally help other people, to empower them, to inspire them, and really just some very kind people with a very cool brand. So they're going to be dropping some new apparel. So if you go to their website right now, they're under construction, but they're going to be dropping some new stuff. Hint, hint. I got a little exclusive access here. So go check that out. And here's another little piece of apparel they have, which is pretty dope. Kapinikai, Captain of the Sea. Now, I do have some color correction stuff on my screen, so this is a little bit different. This is more of like a sea foam, I guess, than blue. It's showing like kind of a light blue. But anyway, go check them out. Follow them around the internet. And when they drop that new apparel, you'll be ready to buy it and to check it out there. So what's up, Eliu from Belize? What is up, man? We got some international audience here. Really appreciate you, Eliu, another live streamer creator. I got to get you on the show, man. That'd be super fun. Have you on the show and talk about your setup and how you do all the things that you do down in Belize. So now what I want to do is get to the meat of the show. I've cut out all the other segments until further notice. I kind of got bored with them, to be honest with you. I got a little bored, and I want to spend more time with the creator to talk about the things to help you in your creator journey. So today we got Anthony Disney coming on the show, and he is a creator, a YouTuber, like I said, Ritual Motion, and we're going to talk about all those things. So Anthony, just quick reminder to unmute your mic if you haven't muted, and here we go, man. What's up? How's it going?
It's going pretty good, man. How are you? Thanks for having me on.
I'm good, man. I'm just talking really fast and like an auctioneer trying to get through the first part of the show. You know how it is. I mean, you go live several times a week, so.
I don't do a good job of talking fast, as you will learn. I think way too much about the things that I'm about to say and how they're going to sound, and you're doing a much better job of talking faster.
Dude, that is probably a better trait than talking too fast, because there's sometimes I get done, I hit the finish button, I go, huh, I probably shouldn't have said that.
Nah, man, you keep people on the edge of their seat.
Well, man, so dude, first of all, you got me on the edge of my seat talking about building legends. You want to get into that, or you want to talk about some other stuff first? I'll kind of let you in the driver's seat. We'll kind of co-host this thing together.
Okay. Yeah, we can talk about where I'm at now, and then we can go back to the YouTube thing. So,
all right, let's do that.
I've pivoted away from YouTube, and I still definitely want to talk about that journey and everything that I've learned there. It's on pause is probably what I'll say.
Okay.
I had a lot of success there, and I learned a ton, primarily through my own experiences and trying things and failing and trying other things, and also leveraging connections that I have with a good buddy of mine who's been very, very successful at YouTube. So we'll talk about that. Building Legends is my current project, I guess. That's my handle over on Twitter. So I've pivoted from the video medium over to writing, and I'm trying to understand and crack the code of appealing to an audience through the writing format. So I'm reading a book called The Science of Storytelling, which is amazing and very eye-opening. And essentially I'm doing the exact same thing I did on YouTube, just throwing stuff out, understanding how the algorithm works, understanding which content resonates with people, what gets them to engage, what doesn't. And you've just got to keep learning and iterating and adapting. And so that's what I'm doing. I've also started a newsletter, and I'm writing a little bit longer form writing, and I'm putting that out once a week. And that's, writing short form Twitter, like one tweet, that's one form of writing that you have to like understand and a skill you have to develop. Then there's threads. I don't know how active you are on Twitter.
I'm not. So threads are a ton.
Threads are essentially a chain of tweets. So you like hook them with the first tweet. I just put out a thread today that was like, over 1 million people drop out of college every year. I was one of them. Here are 7 reasons it was the best decision of my life. So that's the first tweet. That's the hook. And so then you get them to click on that, and then they scroll through a chain of tweets. And so if this was the 7 reasons I dropped out.
Oh, gotcha.
And, they're all their own individual tweets that you're kind of guiding them through the journey. So there's that. And then writing like a newsletter, it's a completely different thing. And for me, the craft of writing has been a lot harder to get up to speed than YouTube. I guess some of the stuff that for YouTube came a little bit more natural. Now I'm not going to say, go to my channel and watch my first like 10, 20 video. They're as terrible as everybody's first 10 or 20.
Sure. The videos. First 100 suck, right? It's like, no matter what you do, the first 100 are horrible.
I don't think I've even put out 100 YouTube videos. So maybe they're all still terrible. Maybe they're all still terrible. Yeah.
Well, man, I think that's kind of interesting that you're going from video to writing, and then, but it's kind of, it sounds similar to the same, you know, it's kind of like short form video. It's like YouTube's like long video traditionally. Now there's like shorts. And then I feel like people are kind of, you know, kind of breaking this long form content up into a lot of different, you know, little pieces or whatnot. And then the newsletter thing is pretty cool as well. Like, I think that's I love newsletters. I read, there's a couple guys in the Amazon world that put them out, and I'm reading them all the time, and I'm like, oh man, I should do one of these. However, I just know I'm not a good writer. So how are you working on that craft? Is like, are you a naturally good writer? Like, are you just like, I enjoy this more? Or are you like forcing yourself to figure it out? Like, what's that look like?
No, I am not a naturally good writer. So it's, I mean, it's leveraging a lot of the same things that you would leverage to grow in any skill. I think it's, I just gave a speech the other day through, I think it was a Twitter Spaces, talking about the ecosystem mindset. And it's like, when you want to go into a new space in life, you don't use your current ecosystem of people to be like, hey, people who've helped me in my job, I want to go learn how to be a good writer. Help me. Like that, that's not going to work. Like you've got to go find new people. You got to find new communities. You've got to find experts and tap into them. And generally speaking, they're going to sell like courses or cohorts or something. And so that's what I've done. I've gone out and I've networked and found a bunch of people that are incredible in this space. And I'm in a cohort right now. There's a guy who has a very large Twitter account. His name's The Art of Purpose is his Twitter handle's Creation 24/7, I think is what it is. But he was a school teacher, dropped out, quit teaching school, and started growing on Twitter and monetizes his Twitter audience. So he's definitely very knowledgeable in the space. And so I've invested in myself through his products and his services. And so, yeah, I'm a noob. I write something and I'm like, this is a good tweet. And I go put it in there and he's like, this is garbage. I'm just like, I don't get it.
And are you still limited to like whatever, with the 140 characters or whatever? Is that what it is? Or is it expanded now?
I can't remember, I know nothing about
Twitter.
There was an earlier, I think it maybe was 140 and it's 280 now.
Oh, okay. Well, that's good. That's good. So they doubled it up, gave you twice as many words. Yeah, I've seen the thread. I've seen the thread, the thing before with the threads. It's like, okay, I got this main thought, and then you know, check the thread, or is it? Are you putting them in the comments? I'm always curious of like, because once again, even navigating Twitter is like, I just give up because it seems overwhelming. It shouldn't be. It's just words, but it seems overwhelming to figure out how to read those seven steps.
Yeah. So, imagine like a Facebook post or any other social media post. You've got your primary one and usually there's like a button that's like see more or whatever, or see comments or something like that.
Okay.
And on Twitter, it's just like, I think it's see replies or something, or see thread, I think is actually what it says, see thread. And you click on it and it just expands it into this really long list and you can just read through the thread that way.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. So now I'm curious because I love monetization, and really before I was focused on some of the stuff I am now, I was really heavy on helping people monetize different types of content, really their podcasts. I mean, that was what I was focused on through sponsorships, affiliate marketing, their own products, that kind of thing. So with Twitter, is your buddy, is he just monetizing by selling a workshop or a course, or like, is he doing affiliate marketing? Like how's he stacking up on Twitter to make money? I'm curious. Now you got me curious. Thanks a lot. My wife is going to be like, Billy, better back off. Don't be following this guy around.
No, you can do the same thing. So there are so many people on Twitter that are like, I'll help you scale your Twitter account so that you can turn around and monetize your audience. So this guy sells you tools and skills for doing that. Like his business is he helps you grow so that you can then turn around and sell. So he's not doing like affiliate marketing or anything that like that. He sells access to a private community for $20 or $25 a month. And that gets you into his private Discord community.
Oh, gotcha.
And then within there, there's a lot of benefits in there. You get access to a whole bunch of, documents that he's created on like how to grow on Twitter, how to get your first 100 followers, your first 1,000 followers, 10,000, 100,000. Like he's got an extensive library of documentation and tools for you. So there's that. Then he does a cohort. He does a cohort 4 times a year and it's $500 to join his cohort. But it's a 30-day, pretty like rigorous thing that every single day they put out a lesson, or they have a live, like private, almost like a Zoom call, but it's in Discord. And so everybody gets on the call together and he's like, ask me any questions you want. Or like this week, we're focusing heavily on thread writing. So you can be like, here's my thread idea, and he'll like dissect it and give you tips and stuff. So that's the other thing he sells. And then he's got like, he sells a PDF that's like 101 ways to write a tweet. And so you can take essentially the formula for the tweet and then apply like, so for you, like you're an Amazon influencer. So you could be like, you know, this tweet over here that's about growing a YouTube account, like just pull out the YouTube stuff and plug in Amazon influencer stuff. And the formula of the tweet should work because it's proven to resonate with people.
Gotcha. Yeah.
But it's about your content.
Okay. Yeah, man, that makes sense. Well, did you get me curious about Twitter? Because I was, even the other day, I was, you know, and I streamed this to Twitter. So this is going live, should be live on Twitter right now. So I'm streaming it to there, but I'm like, I don't do anything with Twitter. Like, I don't even know why I'm streaming over there. So this might be something interesting to figure out and kind of dive into. So that's what you're moving into, or you have moved into. But before that, you were real focused on like growing YouTube channels or growing your YouTube channel. Is that kind of how you got into? And I know as a creator, we're all multifaceted. It's not like we're all just like, I'm a YouTuber and nothing else. Like, we wish that was the case. You know, I wish we were Mr. Beast, but we're not. So we got to do multiple things.
Hey, I'm Mr. I'm just kidding. So here's what's funny. How I got started on YouTube, I had an idea to create a podcast where I would interview creators. Does that sound familiar to you?
Huh. Wow.
And so like I had this idea one day and I'm like, this is freaking genius, because what I can do is I can start like at a lower creator level and people will want to come on, and then my podcast will get bigger, and then I'll start interviewing people with 10,000 followers or whatever. And there's a built-in audience is what I had convinced myself. Like, their following is gonna want to come watch my podcast because their guy's on there or whatever.
That's what we all think. Yep. Yep.
Yeah. So I told my buddy who has the super large, he's got about 750,000 subs on YouTube. And I told him about it, and he's like, yeah, let's do that. And then he was like, I don't have time right now though. And I was like, well, I'll just start my own channel just to like get used to making YouTube videos while that's on the back burner. And so that's how I got started with YouTube. I started my own channel, Dizmodo, on YouTube, and it was movies and television reviews and recaps and stuff like that. And so I started that in late June of last year, and I pretty consistently uploaded 2 to 3 videos a week through February of this year. I got monetized end of December. I applied for monetization and was approved. And so January, like, I had 1 month of making money on YouTube, and I think I made like $500 or something like that. And I was like, yes. And then I was like, this doesn't feel fun anymore. And so I stopped.
Well, man, I think that's the funny part about YouTube, because, you know, a lot of people are like, oh, you have a show about creator stuff, or, you know, with creators or whatever. And really my niche and where I really got into content creation was in the saltwater fishing space. So I started a saltwater fishing show, a live show on Facebook. You know, did like, I think I did about 25 episodes. My co-host and I about punched each other in the face, like literally almost punched each other in the face. And, cause we just didn't know what we were doing. And you know, the long story, but it doesn't matter anyway. And then I was doing some other stuff as well in business, and I sold that part to him. Well, then during the pandemic, I lost this t-shirt business. And then a friend of mine who owns a fishing publication was like, hey, we need to do some digital stuff. And then we started another saltwater show, and that one, you know, but it's been growing consistently, but it took us like, I think we're at 2,400 and something subs, but it's literally taken 2.5 years or two years and a few months or whatever, to organically do that. But we weren't like, and we haven't been really pushing, and I wouldn't say that we create YouTube content. Like, we record podcast sessions and put them up, you know, very similar to this, just 3 camera setup, the whole deal. And then we kind of rock and roll with it. So how in the world were you able, and the reason why, and I told you this before the show, so you've heard this already, but the reason why I wanted to have this conversation is because I feel like a lot of micro creators or nano creators or whatever tiny, you know, whoever's me out there listening to the show that follows me is going, hey, I just want to get, if I get to 2,000 or 2,500, if I made $500 on YouTube in a month, that would be great. So how in the world did you get to that many subs that quickly, do you think?
First of all, are you sure that would be great? Because there's been so many times in my life, I'm like, man, if I can just get that one thing, it's going to be amazing. And then, so I was like working so hard to get monetized, and I got monetized, and then I was like, isn't that great?
Well, and I do agree with you, because I had that same thought when we got monetized. I was like, dude, this is really cool. This is awesome. And I didn't really realize what it took to make money on there. And, you know, once again, we don't make that much money either. Like, actually, I don't even know how to cash it out, to be honest with you. Like, I don't even, that's how not focused I am on it.
Yeah.
However, I do think as somebody who is, now I'm trying to make a full-time living. So my thing is like, okay, if I can make some money on Amazon, make some money on sponsorships, make some money on YouTube, like I'm more in the stacking mentality, because I went all in on a t-shirt business that went away when groups of people couldn't get together anymore. So I'm like, I'm not going to spend the next 10 years growing one product when I need to be growing 5 or 6 products and having multiple streams. That way, if something goes down, a ship goes down, we still got 3 or 4 other ships to carry us through. So yeah, but I agree with you, man. I don't know that I would focus 100% on YouTube, but I do think it is pretty amazing that you got, because what happens, and I'll say this and I'll shut up and let you talk, but what happens is if somebody can grow a channel to 2,500, 3,000, there's other opportunities out there that helps you qualify to be a part of. And so I think that is the amazing part about what you did so quickly, in my mind, quickly, because it took us 2 years to do what you did in 6 months.
Yeah. So I'll get into the specifics of how I was able to do that. I think I could have done it faster if I would have used a lot of the things that I've learned about growing on Twitter. I think not enough people are using all the tools at their disposal to grow on YouTube. And I'll get into that in a minute, but, I would say the majority of my growth, and I could pull the analytics up and look, but I'll just try to go off memory. I'd say from like June through October, was really slow, like very slow. Sub like 200 subs over that entire time. I was just doing, trying to keep up with the new movies that were coming out and trying to do movie reviews and stuff. And one day, I was in this private community, this guy named Devin Nash, who does really great content on YouTube about content creation. And someone in his community gave me a very hard truth one day and was like, dude, nobody cares about your opinion on the internet if you don't already have, if you haven't established yourself as some type of authority. If you're just some random on the internet and you're like, gotcha, Here's why this movie's not good, they don't freaking care. And so I actually made a YouTube video about that. And every so often I go back to my YouTube analytics and I'm still getting, let me look here. I'm still getting like 3-ish. Let's see. Over the last 30 days, I've gotten almost 4,000 views, 200 watch hours. And most of it is this one video that I made about, it was like the hard truth about movie review channels. And it was basically me just saying what I just said, to you about needing to be an authority. So I pivoted. I was like, okay, I need to provide value to these people and not my opinion. And so I started looking around for other avenues in the same niche and stumbled upon TV show recaps. And my buddy with the big YouTube channel was like, dude, you love Dexter. And Dexter was coming back like 10 years later. They re-released this new final season. And he's like, you should do content on Dexter. And I was like, okay, I'm going to do recaps on Dexter. And up to that point, the like most views I had ever gotten on any video, I got like 1,200 views after the new Suicide Squad movie came out. And I put out a video that was like, the new Suicide Squad movie is garbage or something like that. And it got clicks because people disagreed with me.
Yeah.
And so 1,200 views was what it was, like the pinnacle. So I put out this first recap video and I got, I don't know, like 300 or 400 views. And then second episode came out and I got 1,200. I was like, oh, that was good. Third episode came out and I got like 4,000. And then I think there was 10 episodes that season. I was eventually getting somewhere between 10 and 20,000 views per video. And I put some extra, I milked it for all I could because like stuff would happen. And then, that's right. So I was doing recaps and theories all in the same video. And then I was like, I need to maximize this. So I do a recap video and then I'd put out a theory video like midweek.
Yeah.
And so then I was getting like 40K views off of what it would have originally gotten me 20. And then I like towards the end of the season, I put out like a meme video, like making fun of one of the characters. But anyway, so the point here is that if you're doing something on YouTube and you're experiencing slow or no growth, continuing to do the exact same thing will get you nowhere. So you have to look for things that are working and try things. You have to try new things. And if it doesn't work, that's fine. It's not a failure.
Yeah.
It's a success because you tried something new and it didn't work. And you're like, okay, cool. Now I know I don't have to do that. I'm going to go try something else. And I think the most important point is if you are not a pre-existing, pre-established authority on the internet and you are just some random person trying to create content, the number one job that you have is to provide value to your audience so that they want to follow you. And later you can then provide your opinion, but you have to provide value first.
Yeah, that makes sense, man. I think that's a great tip. And that was something that I was able to accomplish with the app Clubhouse, because I got on Clubhouse, and actually I kind of fell into it on accident. I kind of fell into helping people monetize on accident because I thought everyone monetized their podcast. I thought everyone had sponsors. I just thought like, oh, that's just how you make money. And why would you do something every single week of your life and not make money at it? Like that's how I thought about podcasting. And everybody was like, no, dude, nobody makes money. Like, teach us how you're doing this. And that's how I became, you know, that authority. But one thing you said was like, you think you could grow up faster if you knew what you knew now, you know, then now about Twitter. But man, I find it very hard to get people. Like, I have a really good size, decent size audience, still a micro, I guess, whatever, I don't know, whatever you want to call it. Still a small audience over on Clubhouse. Even in its heyday of Clubhouse, I could still not convince people to come over to like Instagram or YouTube or anywhere else. So how are you doing, you know, some of that with Twitter? Like, what's some of the strategy to get people to go, okay, I'm going to stop tweeting and stop reading threads and I'm going to come over and watch your YouTube video? Like, what would... do you think would be the strategy there?
So that's not what I'm saying. Getting people to leave their app that they're on and go to a completely different app is a massive task.
Yeah. Okay. Gotcha.
And I have no secrets to provide there. And my encouragement would be that you shouldn't be doing that.
You should just create where you want to grow. Right.
Right.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Or,
gotcha.
Or create, like, if you're creating video format or essentially doing what you're doing, like you're broadcasting out to several platforms right now. You're not broadcasting to one and going and posting on Twitter and Facebook and Instagram, and all these other places and saying, hey, come over to Ritual Motion and watch this. Like, you're broadcasting everywhere.
Yeah.
That's the approach I think you should take. What I meant on the Twitter growth, the stuff that I've learned about Twitter growth, is the most important thing is networking. And if you go to Twitter and you just try to grow by yourself, like, it's probably never, it's like 99% chance you're not going to pass like 100 followers or 1,000 followers. Maybe you can get into the hundreds. I think like 95% of Twitter, or maybe even more than that, has less than 1,000 followers. So networking is the key. And on YouTube, if you go Google or get into like NewTubers subreddit or whatever, and you're like, how do I grow on YouTube? It's like, everything is like, well, you've got to have a great thumbnail. You've got to have a clickbait title. You've got to speak with the right cadence. You can't, you know, you need to remove your intro thing because people will click off your video. And then it's all the stuff about creating it's all the stuff that you do. And that is important. I'm not arguing. Mm-hmm. But I'm saying to accelerate, like if I could go back, I would have worked my butt off to network with, I wouldn't have tried to go to like Jeremy Johns, who's the, like the pinnacle of movie reviews channels, but there's like hundreds of movie review people on YouTube with thousands of subscribers. And I would have been like, and they're like super down to earth people. They're just like grinding, trying to grow on YouTube, just like me, and try to establish a relationship. Only connect with people that you actually like their content, and actually do it out of a heart of like, I really like your content, and I think it'd be super cool if we could make some stuff together.
Mm-hmm.
And not just like, what can you do for me, me, me? Cause that's going to be obvious and they're not going to want to work with you.
Yeah.
But like, I think I could have grown so much faster networking with people and like going on, like making videos together that we each put up on our own channels or whatever. So if I were to do it again, that's what I would do for sure.
Yeah, man, I think you get a good point. Cause I study, even though I'm not like a quote unquote YouTuber, sure. I have a YouTube channel. Sure. It's got videos. But one guy I study is Mr. Beast. I mean, when somebody is making a splash in the pond, like this dude is, you know, you pay attention, and he's also in North Carolina, which I'm in North Carolina, which is right up the road. So I think that's pretty cool. But one thing that he said was like, he did early on, even when he was younger, you know, when he's real young, I guess he's still young, 24 or whatever, but he had like a group of people, like a small group of dudes or whatever, that were all doing the same, you know, trying to grow, but they were like spend hours on, you know, calls with each other or hangouts or chats or whatever they were doing then. And they would just say, okay, I'm going to try this. Now you try that and whatever. And they would all come back five or six and study the results and go, okay, well, this didn't work for me, but it did for me. Now you go try it. And I think sometimes as content creators, we do. I mean, I'm in a studio I'm in a little island all by myself. And I sometimes will just be like, I forget there's other people that are trying to do the same thing. Or I'll like have some success. And then I talk to other people about it and I'm like, hey, what do you think about this? And then they're like, what's working for you? And they're like, well, I don't really want to tell you, because I'm like, dude, we're not even in the same ball game. Like, what are you talking about? So I love that aspect of networking. I think that's how, you know, all businesses really work. It's like, sure, there's a lot of stuff that you need to know and expertise, but if you don't know people and people can't refer you and vice versa, like, you're just not going to build much. So that's pretty good advice.
I was going to say, let me think, what was I going to say? Oh, so there's, that's like a different vein, I guess, of networking is like, let's all go do our own thing and then we'll come back together and talk about what we learned. Mm-hmm. And that's valuable. I wasn't even doing that. So that would be a step ahead, but I would be making an intentional effort to get myself in front of other people's audiences.
Yeah.
To, in hopes of, sharing the audience, essentially. So I think that would be a pretty good way to see a lot faster growth. You probably have to establish yourself somewhat, for the other YouTubers to want to work with you. But again, I think if you know how to just talk to people and you have a genuine desire to build real relationships with people, then your follower count won't even matter. Like, they'll just be interested in doing stuff with you.
Yeah. Yeah, man, I agree 100%. I've always been that person, even as a content creator, where it's like, I'm not necessarily, and this has really paid off for me in the fishing world, is we don't have the biggest audience, but we have a peer audience. And I really focus on building that peer audience versus just a giant audience. Cause I think of it as like a billboard. Like, sure, there's a billboard out in front of town. It's got 40 million cars drive by it every year or whatever. But, you know, it's like, am I really targeting the right person? Like, I know I'm just picking off whoever, but with my podcast, like, we really went for sponsors that made a lot of sense for us and vice versa. So it was like, added value to our show and brought the quality of our show up. It wasn't interrupting with like, all right, guys, we're gonna talk about topwater fishing, but before I do, let me tell you about this purple mattress. Like, you know, it wasn't any of that kind of stuff. So and it was the network that we already had established with other projects that my partner and I had that we were able to, you know, already have that trust and build that trust to go get sponsorship deals super early on. So man, as we're kind of coming to the end here, of the podcast episode, I haven't really ever done this before, but I got an overrated, underrated, and I got a list of things that I want you to just give me a quick overrated or underrated when it comes to building YouTube channels.
Okay.
See, you're not the only one today with surprises. You surprised me with building legends, and I'm surprising you with overrated, underrated.
Let's do it.
All right. Over or under, niche. Should I have a niche or a niche?
Underrated.
Underrated. Okay. Branding.
Underrated.
Okay. I'm gonna write this down. So under or okay, okay, perfect. Okay, keyword tools. Like
overrated.
Hashtags.
I don't know. Those were fairly new, right?
Yeah, they're pretty new.
I don't know.
I don't either.
Indifferent.
Yeah. Brand website for your YouTube channel, or I guess your brand overall.
Overrated. For YouTube. You spun it at the end. If it's just YouTube, it's overrated.
Just YouTube. Okay, okay. Consistency.
Underrated.
All right. Thumbnails, you talked about earlier a little bit.
I hope I am using these words. Like, underrated means...
Underrated means, like, you should focus on it. Like, it is important.
Okay.
Overrated means, like, don't put too much pressure on yourself.
Okay. Okay. My brain was trying to trick me. I've been answering it that way, so we're good.
Okay, cool. Cool. Yep.
Highly underrated. I think people even say they're important, but they still don't study it to the degree that they should. Highly, highly, highly underrated.
Dude, I'm one of those people. I'm like, yeah, they matter. And then I just throw some crap together. It's like the last thing I focus on, which probably should be the first.
I know you're trying to wrap up, but...
No, you're good. You're good. Let's go.
I used to do the same thing. I would script. I would film. I would edit. I would upload. I would title. I would description, tags. And then I'm like, oh, shoot, I need a thumbnail. And then like in about 4.5 minutes, throw something together. Freaking worst thing you can do. There are so many people that are really, really good at YouTube. They don't even... Step one, create a thumbnail. Step two, create a video idea around the thumbnail.
All right.
Like completely flips the idea on its head of like how to do YouTube. So highly underrated.
All right. Highly. I like that, man. Well, and I've often thought that like I should do these first and then, you know, move on from there. But
I've seen people create thumbnails in PowerPoint. If you're doing that, just what are you doing? Don't do that.
I'm gonna let you stand on that island by yourself. I'm not gonna let people throw poop at me if they use that.
Okay.
End screens. Please have mercy.
End screens?
Yeah, like I guess like, there's like a little end cards at the end of the video.
Like the cards or the graphics that you put up so that the cards look nice and fancy.
Yeah. That.
Overrated.
Over. Focusing on watch time, should I be concerned about the length that people are watching my video?
Hold on. I want to go back to the last thing.
All right.
There's this new trend I'm sure you've noticed, especially in Mr. Beast videos. Like, they just end the video. They're like, oh my God, he just finished it. That was crazy. Okay, bye. And it's all about retention. Because if you have this big, long trailing thing at the end, your retention rate's worse. So, that should be your focus on the ending. Okay, sorry. What was the next one?
And you're right, man. He drills it down because it's like, I mean, you're sitting here, you're having people hang out for 53 hours and do whatever. And then it's like, it's a 12-minute video that's just like freaking action packed. I mean, of course, you know, it's $1 million a video or something silly that he's, I mean, not silly, like good for him, like whatever. But okay, let's see. So watch time. Oh, yeah. Watch time. We talked about watch time. So under or over?
Watch time. Like overall,
just like what we just talked about, like retention rate. Like, should I be hyper focused on it?
Yes. If you're not, yes.
So that's underrated. Okay.
Underrated. Yeah.
Flashy editing. Should I be
flashy,
or should I just be like super focused on editing, or is it like, just do the best you can?
No, it's probably underrated. It should be really good.
All right, reply. Just a couple more here, a few more. Replying to comments.
Depends on the size of the channel. If you're a new channel, you should be replying to every single one. If you're a larger channel, yeah.
All right. Awesome. Collaborate. Well, I know what this is. Collaborations. It's going to be underrated because you talked so
massively
much about
underrated.
It.
Yeah.
And then like I know one thing that somebody got onto me about, and I just changed this on my fishing channel, was playlists. Like to set up the home page of the. I mean, this person that got onto me was like, "Dude, you got to figure this out." And I'm like, "All right."
I could be missing something, but I would think that would be overrated. Particularly in the growing phase of YouTube, it's all about discoverability. And so like you're just thinking about people finding your videos through search and then people clicking on your videos through YouTube's recommendations. Playlists have nothing to do with that.
Gotcha.
I don't think. Yeah. So, I mean, if somebody is like navigating through the YouTube user interface and they end up on your channel and they're like, "Oh, this is, I need playlists to sort all this." Like, I would think you're now concerned about 1% of your audience. And so like, nah.
Yeah, that makes sense. That makes sense, man. Well, Anthony, dude, it's been a lot of fun having you on the show. And as I always do, is there anything that, is there anything you want to promote? I know it seems like since you and I talked the first time and I had to reschedule with you that I had some different stuff on here. You know, Building Legends is new since the last time we talked. So where do you want to direct people to go find you? And if you want to send me a link, I can change it in the description as well. That way I have it right.
Just the Twitter account right now at Building Legends. That's my primary focus. That's where you're going to find me. I'm doing spaces and stuff over there. If you're unfamiliar with spaces, that's basically Clubhouse, but on Twitter.
Clubhouse for Twitter.
Yeah. So that's my focus right now. If you want to get on my newsletter, there's a link to my newsletter on my Twitter account. So yep, just find me on Twitter.
Awesome, man. And you also do a couple live shows on Ritual Motion as well, right?
So I do. Yeah. So a couple of those are coming this week. We'll be discussing some metaverse stuff, actually NFTs, Minecraft's stance on not allowing NFTs. We're going to be talking about that tomorrow. And then Thursday, my guest is going to be talking about how do you even build a metaverse? Because he's actually building a metaverse. So pretty cool stuff.
Yeah, dude, that's awesome, man. Well, Anthony, high five long distance, man. Appreciate you being a part of the show. And sorry I had to cancel on you the first time, but I'm so glad we could get back on the calendar and we'll have to do it again sometime, man. You're into a lot of different things. So I know you're, you know, way more diverse than just YouTube. And maybe we circle back around and talk about that Twitter game as you're into it a few more months.
Yeah, man, that sounds good. We'll catch up later.
Awesome, man. Appreciate you, Anthony. All right, everybody. Thank you so much for joining us. Thank you for watching. If you watch live or you're listening or watching the replay, really appreciate that. Make sure you guys go give Anthony a follow at Building Legends on Twitter and go check him out. And join me on Thursday. It's going to be a wild show because I got Sid Meadows going to come back on the show. As you guys, if you follow the show at all, you know he was a co-host when I was doing daily shows on Fridays. And so he's going to come back. We're going to do a little old school catch up, see what he's been up to during his white boy summer. You know, I'm seeing pictures of him on his yacht at the lake, or not his yacht, but a yacht on lake vacations, all this fun stuff. So, you know, we like to have a good time. So put it on your calendar, 4 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Central, right here on Creating Daily. You can have Sid Meadows on. It's going to be a really fun show. I imagine I'm going to drop some old jokes, and he's probably going to call me a jerk. So if you're in for it, then come be a part of that. And until then, go hit record. Go hit that live button. Go create amazing content and build your audience. Build your community and have fun doing it. We'll talk to you soon. And as always, I lost the end screen. It doesn't matter. Here it is.